Once again, if you would, take your Bibles out and don't turn to John's Gospel, but turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 as we continue our study of the spiritual gifts given to the church. The main lesson we're carrying with us through this series of messages based on 1 Corinthians 12, the Spirit gives spiritual gifts to members of the church in order to equip the church to carry out its ministry until the second advent of Christ. Mr. Connie Stevens took over as pastor of a large southern church after spending 8 years ministering in Moscow and other Eastern European cities. Things had changed a lot since he had left America, especially in the world of technology. Cable, computers, cellular phones. It was very confusing to Pastor Connie. So when Pastor Connie complained to his new secretary that he didn't think that the paging device folks had asked him to wear was working, she gently pointed out that he was wearing his garage door opener. That, of course, explained to him why his pager wasn't having any success opening the garage door. Pastor Stevens had all the tools he needed. He just needed a little good information on how to use them. Today, the body of Christ, the church, is facing similar information crisis when it comes to spiritual gifts. And that's why we're giving ourselves to this study of spiritual gifts. The Holy Spirit, He has equipped the saints with the necessary tools. We just need to know how to use them. And my hope is that as we study the spiritual gifts, we'll gain the know-how to use them for the common good of the church, our church family. Well, let's review just a little bit where we've been. First of all, we looked at verses 1 through 3, and we studied how to be sure church members are using Holy Spirit spiritual gifts. There was a crisis in the church of Corinth. The gifts were not being used appropriately. They were being used inappropriately by probably people that were suspect, whether they were true believers or not. And so Paul says, church, get informed. He says, don't be led astray by these false teachers. And then he gives us two tests of verification, whether the spiritual gifts are being used as they should be. And then we launched into point number 2 a couple of weeks ago. We were looking at the Holy Spirit gives a variety of spiritual gifts for the common good of the church family. And so far, we've looked at a couple of things. In verse 4, we saw that there are a variety of spiritual gifts. And remember, we're going to go over those spiritual gifts individually. In all three places in the New Testament, it talks about spiritual gifts. We're going to go over those gifts. And then we looked in verse 5 at the fact that there are a variety of ministries within the church family. And who would have thought that a variety of gifts would supply a variety of ministries in order to use those gifts? And so that's what we've looked at so far. And now we're going to dive into point C. There are a variety of effects of spiritual gifts. So look at verse 6 with me. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone, that is, in every church member. Well, once again, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the guidance of your word, for the perfectness of your word, that it is infallible and inerrant and profitable for teaching, for rebuking, and for training in righteousness, that we may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Thank you, Lord, for just the guidance of the Holy Spirit within our hearts and within our minds as we study your word. We are indebted to the presence of the Holy Spirit within our lives in more than one way. And so we pray, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and a taste for this, the treasure of your holy word. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Well, let me draw your attention to the Greek word translated activities in the English Standard Version. Now, in the King James Version, if you have that translation in front of you, it is this first part of verse 6, and there are diversities of operations, where the ESV has activities. In the New King James Version, it is, and there are diversities of activities. And then in the New American Standard Bible, it reads, there are varieties of effects. Now, whether it's translated activities, effects, or operations, regardless of your translation, they are translating the Greek word energimeton. And I don't know if I said that right, but there it goes. And I'm trying not to speak in tongues, but energimeton. Now, it's important for us to understand this is in the noun form. So it's talking about an activity, a person, place, thing, an activity, okay? Or the results of an activity, if you will. And the Greek word literally means what is worked out. What is worked out? Whatever is worked out has an effect, okay? It can be a positive effect or it can be a negative effect. So Paul is teaching us here that there are a variety of effects of using spiritual gifts, the diversity of spiritual gifts. So when we use our variety of spiritual gifts, there are a variety of effects, a variety of activities, a variety of operations or workings that come from their use. Now, I think it's very important that we see here that when we use our God-given spiritual gifts correctly and for the common good, that good results happen. Okay? What is the effect of good gifts being used in a godly way? Godly good effect. Okay? And I think that's important. In other words, we're not wasting our time when we're using our spiritual gifts. Sometimes we may think that, boy, I just don't see any good coming out of this, but you're not seeing it from the vantage point of God. But what you've got to remember is what His Word says, all right? There are effects, and God is the giver of what? Every good gift for good effects. Now let me draw your attention to another word in our text. And there are varieties of activities or effects, but it is the same God who empowers. That's the word I want. Empowers them all and every one. Now, in the ESV, as I just read, it's translated, that Greek word's translated empowers. In the KJV, it's worketh. In the New KJV, it's works. And in the New American Standard, again, it's works. Empowers, worketh, works, works. Now, would it surprise you if I told you that it's the same Greek word that energimeton was translated from earlier in verse 6? It's the same Greek root. Whereas it's translated activities or effects in the noun form, okay? Here, this is in the verb form, so it's describing an action. And it's describing what God is doing within us, okay? And so empowers comes from the word energon. Do you hear energy in there? Energon, energy. And it means is working. So who is working? That's the important part for us to see here. Who is working in us that there are good effects that take place when we use our spiritual gifts? Well, look at the text. What does it say? God is empowering, or God is working within us. So it is God who empowers the Christian to use the Holy Spirit-given gifts. And we use them in and through the power of God. And remember, it's not by our own power that we're using them, but by the power of God that we use these gifts. Because these are not human gifts. These are supernatural gifts that God gives. And isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful? Amen? Wouldn't it be wonderful, Courtney, if you went and bought a brand new car and the dealership says, not only are we going to sell you a car, but we're going to give you the fuel, as long as you have it, to be able to use it. Well, that made some people excited. Well, now I know your language. Gas. Well, now let's apply that spiritually here. In the same way, God, right off the lot, gives you a spiritual gift. And he says, not only am I going to give you a spiritual gift, but I'm going to empower you as long as you live. Let me say that again. As long as you live, not between the ages of 30 and 50, not between the ages of 50 and 60, but as long as you live, I will empower you to use your spiritual gift for the common good right in the church. Hallelujah and amen. You know, I dare say if most of us knew we could buy a car and get fuel for the rest of our lives, that lot would be empty, wouldn't it? It would be. Let's not forsake these wonderful spiritual gifts that God's given us and empowered us to use right here at Liberty Baptist Church. And of all the things that we can learn, I want to point this out, that we can learn that it is the Holy Spirit that gives these supernatural gifts. It is God who supplies the supernatural power to use them, and good, godly things will result. That's the effect of the working of these gifts. One theologian said this, "The one who provides the spiritual gifts also provides the energy and power, as well as the faith, to make them effective. Christians, no matter how well-trained and experienced or how unselfishly motivated, cannot exercise their gifts in their own power. We may exercise our talents, our skills, intelligence, and other natural abilities in our own power, but only the giver of spiritual gifts can empower them and make them effective." Now, let me tell you, you are a one-of-a-kind Christian. There's not another Christian like you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you have been gifted and you have been empowered to use your gift supernaturally. And no one else can use the gift that you have been given. You alone can use that gift for the common good. And the effect, if you do not use that gift, is loss, not only to you as an individual believer, but to our church family as a whole. The church suffers loss if we fail to exercise these gifts. One theologian says, "He has given no one the exact gift he has given us, and he has given no one the exact ministry he has given us. If we do not use our gift, no one else will. If we do not fulfill our ministry, it will not be fulfilled." Using our spiritual gifts will have a good, godly effect, and it will ripple out among the congregation and have a good, godly effect upon them. Now, there is nothing negative. There's no negative effect for using supernatural gifts the way God intends them to be used, empowered by Him. There's only good things that can happen. Now, there is a negative effect, though, when we fail to use our gifts. As one person said, "Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last." And so live to exalt the Lord right here, church family, by using your spiritual gifts for the common good. Now, one last thing that Paul tells us in verse 7 is this. There is one source and one purpose for spiritual gifts. And I've been talking about this all along, but this is where I take it from. Verse 7, look with me there. "To each is given." Now, I don't want to just glance over those first words of verse 7. Some people will say, "Well, Pastor David, how do you know I have a spiritual gift? I don't think that I have a spiritual gift." Well, you're incorrect in your thinking, and your feelings can lie to you. Okay? The Word of God will not lie to you. And let me start with verse 7 once again. To each. Are you an each? Raise your hand if you're an each. Have you ever been called an each? You're an each. To each is given the manifestation of the Holy Spirit for the common good. Now, this is in the context of using spiritual gifts. And so, I don't know if you noticed, but in verses 4 through 6, Paul has intertwined the Holy Trinity when it comes to spiritual giftedness. One theologian says this, the gifts are given by the Holy Spirit, verse 4. Verse 5, the ministries are assigned by the Lord Jesus. And verse 6, and the effects are energized by God the Father, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So the one source for these gifts and the power to use them is our one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God is for us, church family. He is for us using the tools that He has given us to use for the common good of this church family. And as I've pointed out, there's not a single believer that's left out. You need to be reminded, I can tell. Beginning of verse 7, to each is given. So you have the Holy Spirit within you. If you don't have the Holy Spirit within you, then you're not born again and you're dead in your trespasses and sin and you're hell bound. Okay? But each one of us who have come to faith in Jesus Christ have been born again of the Holy Spirit. That's why we're saved. Because we were born again of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has filled us to the capacity that He's going to fill us. There's not a second baptism of the Holy Spirit. There is only one. And you get it all at one time. Okay? So you are filled with as much Holy Spirit as you'll ever be filled with since the day you were born again. And so, in that regard, the Holy Spirit who dwells within you has given you a spiritual gift, or maybe more than one spiritual gift. Each believer has received a spiritual gift for the common good of their church family. Now, if we try to deny that fact, then in essence, what we're saying is God is a liar. We're going totally against His word. And the Bible says in Numbers chapter 23, verse 19, God is not man that He should lie, or a son of man that He should change His mind. He has said, and will He not do it? Or has He spoken, and will He not fulfill it? And so each gift given, the Bible tells us here, is used and it manifests the presence of the Holy Spirit within our lives. Well, what does manifestation mean? It just means an appearing. It means a display. Anytime that you're using your spiritual gifts for the good of this church family, the Holy Spirit is being displayed in your life. That's what it means to be manifested in your life. As one theologian puts it this way, the idea is that each gift possessed by each one is a manifestation or an evidencing, a making known of the Spirit's activity in and through the individual believer. Hot dog. That Holy Spirit's sort of shy sometimes. And I'm so thankful that He manifests Himself in our lives when we use these Spirit-given gifts. And you know, if anything I've learned about being a believer and what God wants more than anything, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is to be glorified. And one of the ways that we glorify Him is by showing His presence in our life. And when we show His presence in our life, we do that by exercising our spiritual gifts. That's how we do it. Just that simple. And that brings Him glory. So if there is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit in our lives by the working of a spiritual gift given by Him, this is the key here. We can know that we have been born again and we're saved. We're saved. The Holy Spirit would not manifest Himself in an unregenerate person's life. Wouldn't do it. And so, that's one way that we can know we're truly saved. One last thing Paul tells us here is the purpose of the Holy Spirit giving gifts. At the end of verse 7, it says this, for the common good. So to each is given the manifestation of the Holy Spirit for what? For our own pridefulness, right? To puff us up. to make us look holier than thou in front of everybody else. That's it, isn't it? Is that what the Bible says? No, we're to use these gifts unselfishly. It's for who? Why did God give us a spiritual gift? Take your finger and point to the person next to you. Right? That's why He gave us a spiritual gift. For you. For the common good. He didn't give it to us to hide our light under a bushel. He didn't give it to us so that we can bring praise and adoration to ourselves. He gave it to us for one simple reason. He knew that we needed help. And the people we need help from are the very people we sit next to every Sunday in the pews. And He's empowered us to give the help to one another that we need to give. Hallelujah. We don't need to look any further than that, than to the person sitting next to you or behind you or in front of you. One theologian says this, a church that faithfully uses its gifts and the Spirit's power experiences the joy of great unity, love, and fellowship in ways that no amount of human ability, planning, or effort can produce. You see, there's only certain things that God can do through us as He empowers us. Instead of us making all these plans and strategies and this, that, and the other thing that's human speaking, what we really need is what God tells us He's already given us. Amen and amen. You are here. You are a member of Liberty Baptist Church, and you are a Holy Spirit gifted member. And you are a Holy Spirit gifted member for the common good of the people sitting around you. And that's what common good comes from, the Greek word sumphiro, which means literally to bring together. And so, in other words, we are stronger together than when we are individuals. And these Holy Spirit gifts are meant to strengthen us as we come together for the common good, for the glory of God. And so when we use our spiritual gifts, what we're really doing is conferring a benefit to other members. That's what we're doing. In other words, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each member for the profit of all the other members. That's the common good. Well, I'm stopping right there. Amen. I knew I'd get one, at least. But let me finish with just a little story. There was a well-known coach who was once asked, how much does college football contribute to the national physical fitness picture? Nothing, the coach replied abruptly. Why not? Said the startled reporter. Well, coach said, the way I see it, you have 22 men down on the field desperately needing a rest, and you have 40,000 people in the stands desperately needing some exercise. You know, if we really apply that to the church, and I think that we can see a similar situation. The situation exists in many churches today, maybe even in our own. When you compare the members who merely attend with those who actively participate, oftentimes we find a rather pathetic situation. It's not unusual, and I'm not telling anything that y'all don't know, to have a small group of people doing the lion's share of the work within the church family. And if I'm reading it right, the scriptures, that's not the way it's supposed to be. Each of us are to carry our own weight here at the church in order to help other people, other members of the congregation. And really, that's God's strategy for the church. How is the church to function? How is the church to thrive? It's to function, it's to thrive as we use the Holy Spirit gifts we're given, empowered by God to use them for the common good of this entire church family. Now, how well this church benefits from these things, it really depends upon how many members get out of the stands and onto the field. Amen? Amen. And not every member will have the same gift. Not every member will do the same things. Remember, there's a variety of gifts. There's a variety of ministries. And there's a variety of effects. Amen and amen. But there's only one common good that can come from it. So, next week, we're going to start looking at the spiritual gifts individually. So come ready to hear about these spiritual gifts and ask the Lord to make it crystal clear which one is yours, and then begin using it. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this morning service as we celebrated our veterans, honored them with gratitude. Thank you so much for their sacrifices. Thank you, Father, for the sacrifices their families have made. We just give you praise. May this country always have a rich heritage of honoring those who are on the front line of protecting the Constitution of this great nation. We pray, Father, they'll have the tools and the know-how to be able to do their job well and the support of a grateful nation. Beginning with the president on down through the Congress, to the courts, and through the states and local governments. And Father, we thank you so much that in this same vein that we can see Jesus Christ, a friend who gave his life, everything that he could, that lives could be saved and freedom won. And Lord, we are here today because our freedom has been won through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That through his death, he paid the price, the penalty for our sin. And through his resurrection, he gives us his righteousness, that we can stand before you, our God, holy and blameless. And so, Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ, the warrior, who never raised the white flag, but went to the cross and considered it full joy for sinners such as we are. Now, Father, help us in turn to honor his great sacrifice and your great gift as we use the spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit has given to us for the common good of this church family. In Jesus' name, amen.